Let's turn to Joshua chapter 22, the tribes beyond the Jordan. Joshua 22. Okay, let's read this together. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded you and have listened to my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now, to the one half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan. But to the other half, Joshua gave a possession among their brothers westward beyond the Jordan. So when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them. And he said to them, "Return to your tents with great riches and with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, and with very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers." And the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home and departed from the sons of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had possessed according to the command of the Lord God Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard it and said, "Behold, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side belonging to the sons of Israel." And when the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. Then the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one chief for each father's household from each of the tribes of Israel. Each one of them was the head of his father's household among the thousands of Israel. And they came to the sons of Reuben, to the sons of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourself an altar to rebel against the Lord this day? Is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it will come about, if you rebel against the Lord today, that he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, act unfaithfully in all the things under the ban, and wrath fall on all the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in his iniquity." Then the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, answered and spoke to the heads of the families of Israel, "The mighty one, God, the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord, he knows, and may Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or if an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not thou save us this day. If we have built us an altar to turn away from following the Lord, or if to offer burnt offering, grain offering on it, or if to offer sacrifices of peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself require it. But truly, we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord had made the Jordan a border between us and you, you sons of Reuben, you sons of Gad, and you have no portion in the Lord, for your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, rather it shall be a witness between us and you, and between our generations after us, that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your sons may not say to our sons in time to come. You have no portion in the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall also come about if they say this to us or to our generations in time to come. Then we shall say, see the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice. Rather, it is a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord, turn away from following the Lord this day by building an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So when Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the congregation, even the heads of the families of Israel who were with him, heard the words which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, and the sons of Reuben and to the sons of Gad, the sons of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in our midst. Because you have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord, now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the leaders returned from the sons of Reuben and from the sons of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the sons of Israel, and brought back word to them. And the word pleased the sons of Israel, and the sons of Israel blessed God, and did not speak of going up against them in war or destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. And the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness, for they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Amen. That was kind of a long passage, but a good passage, okay? So let me kind of give us a little explanation of what's going on. Then I'll give you a little background and context. So remember, back before the tribes, Moses had actually offered Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was huge. So they had already set aside this tribe from beyond the Jordan. And so the Jordan, I mean, really was a landmark in many ways. It divided quite a bit of territory. And so they were, they had asked Moses, and Moses said they saw it was good. So they gave him that on one condition. Because when they go across the other side of the Jordan, there would have to be wars, conquests, all kinds of things happening, and said, well, I'll give you this, but as is fairly customary with human nature, says, I'll give you this land and you can build and, you know, do your farming and cattle and all this stuff. But we know that many times when we receive good things from the Lord, it brings us into a place of complacency many times. We very easily can take our foot off the gas pedal and just relax, and then we become fodder for the enemy. So he says, this is fine, you'll have this land, but your sons, because we are one peoples, your sons must go and fight. And so they actually stay for 7 years, which, you know, is a number of completeness. So they stay for 7 years, they fight, and now God had given them rest. That was a conclusion before. God gave them rest, so he tells them, okay, now you guys can go back to your tents. In other words, go back to your land, to your cities, and live, basically. And notice this verse 8, okay? And I'll use a New Testament verse to elaborate this a little bit more. So he says to them, return to your tents with great riches, with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, with very many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers. Now turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, this is the preface of this is the rich young ruler. And remember, he says how hard it'll be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And he tells the ruler, verse 21, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Now, he continues his thought. So the disciples are like, Lord, that's really difficult. You know, I can't believe you said that. And then Jesus responds in verse 27, with men it is impossible, with God, for all things are possible with God. And Peter says, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. Now look at his response. It's actually powerful. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. So look at this scenario, okay? And I'll connect it to Joshua in a second. So the rich young ruler, I know this scares a lot of people, this passage. It scared me the first time I read it as well. This is what you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Now, first of all, read the text very carefully. Notice it doesn't say give everything to the poor. It says just simply give to the poor. And so, which is what we should be doing anyway. I don't want to exegete the whole passage, but Jesus, he's not so concerned with all the stuff, possessions. He's concerned with his heart. The rich young ruler, his heart was in his possessions. In other words, he couldn't trust God for salvation because he trusted in his possessions. You guys understand? That's the main part. So, and the disciples are missing that part as well. So he says, do that. He leaves quietly, and these guys are like, oh, this is impossible. So he says, no, it's not impossible with God. So then Peter comes, because Peter also mistakes what Jesus is saying. It's not about possessions. It's about the heart. And so he says, Lord, we left, you know, like, we're in the right place. We left everything and followed you. And notice Jesus' response. He says, so it's not about possessions, because he says, no one has left fathers, mothers, da da da. And this is the key. You shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age. There is a faulty thinking, I would say a demonic thinking, that says that if you obey God, if you fully give your life to God, you are going to be miserable in this life. Sure, there's eternal life to come. There's, heaven. But in this life, be prepared for a tremendous amount of suffering. Be prepared, rich young ruler, give up everything, sell to the poor. Man, what a tough life we're going to live on this earth. And Jesus says, no. No one has left houses, mothers, brothers, sisters, that are the farms, that will not receive 100 times in this life, and then also the life to come. It's very different. See, we have this idea that if we really, really follow God, yeah, I'm not going to really have a lot of possessions. If we really, like we really, really, really follow God, I probably have to suffer a lot. You know, and all these things. And I, like I said, I do believe it's a demonic assignment. Now, let's go back to Joshua. Look what he says. These guys, think about this scenario. In 7 years' time, they could have been raising a lot of cattle. They could have been farming their land. I mean, can you imagine? And some of you guys have ever owned a house. You understand this. You just got a house. And then God says, leave the house for 7 years and go take care of your brothers. In other words, fully obey the Lord. And then you leave your house desolate, basically. And you would think, oh, that's going to really mess up my house. It's going to really mess up my possessions. It's going to really mess up. Or it could be, you know, go obey this and just think about your job or whatever the case may be. And we think, oh man, if I, you know, I'll lay something out. If I go on a mission trip for a year, if I serve the Lord on the field for a year, then my career is going to really take a stumble. You know, I won't really be able to, you know, hit what all my colleagues are doing and whatnot. But see, you're thinking naturally. You're not thinking supernaturally. And God, when we obey the Lord, He's able to, and I don't want to use the word repay, but He's able to bless us beyond what you can imagine. These guys, they obeyed the Lord. It was tough for them, you know, because like, they already got their land. You know what I mean? Like it's already theirs. They possess it already. And he says to them, he says, I want you to go. I want you to go fight now. You know, leave everything behind. I want you to go fight. So they do that for 7 years. And notice he says, you've listened to every command of Moses, and you've listened to every one of my commands. And so these guys, we use our language, we're really good sons. They not only obeyed Moses, you know, but they obeyed Joshua. You know, and Joshua really began to take that place as well as the prophet over the people. And so they were good sons. And as good sons, God blessed them. And he says to them, now go back, but now go back with riches. Great riches, he says, with a lot of livestock. You know, can you imagine 7 years? Can you imagine how much livestock they would have had if they would have just been good farmers and good cattle ranchers and all these things? But look, they obeyed the Lord, and God just blessed them, gave them so much more than they would have had if they had stayed beyond the Jordan. Did you guys catch that? He says that no one has left houses, mothers, you know, farms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that will not receive 100 times in this life and also the life to come. John 10:10, I came that you might have life. The thief only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Right? There, in other words, we have heaven to look forward to for sure, okay? But that does not mean that you're going to live a miserable existence here on earth. The key is your heart. Your heart. Now, if you're fixated on those riches, it's probably not going to happen for you, unfortunately. If you're fixated on following God, and you're fixated on obeying the Lord, and you're fixated on being a good son of the Lord, man, be prepared for 100 times in this life and also the life to come. When I first got called in the ministry, and this is my story, okay? When I first got called in the ministry, at that time, I had some fairly lucrative job offers that are out there, but it was just this call. It was so compelling. I was basically 23 years old. And just graduated from university, you know, my future looks bright, you know, there's a lot of experience, a lot of things happening, but I just feel this call in my life. And to be honest, I resisted for a while because it's kind of like, God, I want to have a house and, you know, I want to have a family, and, you know, and all those things. And for whatever reason, my twisted thinking, I felt like if I went to ministry, I wouldn't have all those things. Yeah, I'm Korean, so, you know, there's this Korean, like, especially in Korean churches, there's like this over infatuation with suffering in many ways. And so it was ingrained in me in some way. And actually, I had this dream. It's more of a thought that, you know, from a dream, but, you know, I saw myself like, and I said, you know what, God, I will fully follow you when I get older. You know, like after, like I make my millions, and then of course I'm going to give to the church. I'm going to be very generous. Right? I'm going to give a lot of money, but I want to have a lot of money, and I'll give a lot of money. Hey, you know how that goes. And then I'll be faithful and I'll serve you, but like fully serve you later on, after I enjoy my life. And I had this dream that I was like, I was old, and I just had like my heart, I just knew that I had wasted my life. In other words, God gave me an opportunity, and I chose a simpler path. And it was, my heart was kind of breaking, and I woke up and I said, okay, Lord, I'm jumping in, basically, in that regard. And it's been wonderful. You know, I mean, I've had a fuller life than, you know, I mean, I could ever imagine and stuff. And I mean, it's really quite amazing, the life that the Lord has allowed my wife and I and our family to really be involved in. You know, I mean, you know, there's not much money involved, which is okay, but the experience of all that and the things that we've been able to do, even with the lack of resources, has just been amazing. You know, this is not boastful or anything, but I probably live a better life than many of you guys sitting in this room that make a lot more money than I do. You know, and it's pretty crazy, you know, of how this works, because God takes care of people that are fully devoted to Him. And we see this happening constantly through the scriptures. You know, don't be led astray. I mean, really, don't be led astray. If you fully follow the Lord, God will always have your back. You know what I mean? God will always take care of you. God will always sustain you. And you will live the abundant life. But your heart has to belong to Him. Your heart just has to be obedient. You know, I mean, these guys is saying, you fully obeyed everything that Moses and that Joshua is saying that I have commanded for you. And so now go with blessing. Isn't that amazing? Go with blessing and go with riches. Go with all the spoils. Go with all these things. And whatever they, in the natural, they feel like they would have lost by giving up 7 years of fighting. But can you imagine those 7 years, how many victories that they accomplished? You know, how many times they went to war thinking, oh, we're going to die. And then God came through. You can't buy that kind of experience. You know what I mean? That there's something about when you have little and then you see God come through miraculously. You can't buy that kind of experience. Money can't buy that kind of experience. You know, to really walk and see God's faithfulness over our lives. That's why the poor are close to God, because the poor have only but God. You know, and so God does amazing things. You know, now, you know, we have insurance, you know, and those are all good things as well. I mean, it's all part of God's provision, but you know, there's these experiences where we kind of throw ourselves out there and God just comes through in such amazing ways. Aha, I ran out of time, man. I didn't even get to the other part. The other part, I mean, it's really simple. These guys build an altar. Don't focus on the altar part. Focus on the other tribes. They hear about the altar. There's only one altar. There's only one place of sacrifice. And so to them, these guys are basically creating a new religion. That's what the other tribes think. So they come out. Now notice the heart behind it. Now, they do come out for war, okay? And so because they want to obliterate any kind of dissension, but he says, hey, if this is what you're thinking, come back to the other side of the Jordan, live amongst us. We'll give you some cities and we'll take care of you, but don't turn your heart. And this is really like a pastor's heart in some essence. They see, in their mind, they see sin, they see folly, and they're doing everything they can to bring them out of that place. And it's not, because, you know, some people can just very easily say, you're wrong. Don't do that. Okay, bye. And you know, a lot of the church is like that. Look at these guys said, hey, actually, you're wrong. You know, don't do that. But let us help you. Come over to the other side. Let us take care of you. We'll provide for you. We'll give you our land. And you can live with us and, you know, get your life back in order, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, in that regard. And I mean, it's really important. It's like, let me bring up a huge topic, abortion, okay? You know, a lot of people in the church, abortion, rah, that's wrong, you're murder, you're killing, blah, blah, blah. But those same people will never adopt a baby. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You can't just be the person that's just pointing fingers. You have to be the person that brings solutions to it. And that's the Christian ethic. You can't just tell people you're wrong and that's messed up. You have to walk them through that whole thing. And you have to be willing to open up your house, open up your wallet, you know, open up your lives to help people through. That's the heart of these guys. They went and said, I think what you're doing is wrong. Remember, you know, our history and all these things are happening. Don't do this, but let's help you. Come over to the other side. Take our lands. We'll live together. We'll take you. We'll take care of you. And so on and so forth. And then, you know, when they find out the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they basically say, no. We're not building any sacrifice. This is just an altar. This is a witness. This is just to say that we are part of, and they make it on the Israel side of the Jordan. And so this is a witness to them, and it's basically a witness for your sons. That because the Jordan actually separates, because of the Jordan, I don't want your sons to say, hey, we don't know who you are. Now we have a monument, we have a witness, and everyone said it was great. In fact, Phinehas, he says something really wonderful. In verse 31, at the end, he says, today we know that the Lord is in our midst. Right? God is in the midst of us. because you've not committed this unfaithful act, because, you know, he is in our midst, because, okay, we are one again. We are in that place. And isn't that what it says in the New Testament? Two or three are gathered together in my name. In other words, in that place of unity, it says, there I am in the midst of them. Okay, that was quick. Let's close our eyes. So let's go back to what I talked about originally. Let's think about that for a moment. Let's just be honest, all of us. Is there a piece of our mind? Is there a piece in our thought process that says, if I fully obey God, that I may lose something? If I fully follow God, that it might be detrimental to my career? If I fully follow God, I will be behind, or something in that way? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. No one has left houses or farms or mothers or fathers or sisters that will not receive 100 times in this present age houses and fathers and brothers. But notice, this is also persecutions. Yeah, there'll be persecution. Those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. So we understand that. It's not going to be a rosy street, but he says 100 times in this life and then eternal life to come. That's why this gospel thing, brothers and sisters, it's a good deal. It's a great deal. God saves us from our sins, and then he gives us abundant life. Abundant life on earth, eternal life in heaven. So if we're dealing with maybe some negative thought processes, maybe the enemy has dropped a thought into our minds, take that thought captive and just eradicate it from our minds. God's heart is to bless. It's always been his heart. And as we sing, let's just meditate on that.
Worthy of our praise. my heart will sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great.
Let's pray, huh? Let's make a commitment in our heart to fully follow the Lord. Let's nail down a resolution in our minds that says that if we fully follow God, wrapped into that obedience is the fullness of God's blessings. That if we fully follow the Lord and obey Him, we won't miss out on anything. We'll be lacking in nothing, the Bible tells us. And so, if there's an inkling of thought in our hearts that says, man, I'm going to miss out on something if I fully give my life to the Lord, my career is going to be in jeopardy, and so on and so forth. Let's eradicate those thoughts. That's not biblical. We see time and time again, people that fully follow the Lord, man, so much fullness, 100 times in this life, and then the life to come. Well, let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are battling illness, especially cancer. Let's pray for them. Let's ask for God's healing word. And let's pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to just engulf their whole family. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray over our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's favor over them, open doors, and the Lord would just really bless them in this season of their life. Let's pray today. Let's pray for Singapore. Let's ask God to continue to breathe life into this country. Let's pray for our church there, SPSG. Pray for our board. Pray for Sam Kim and his wife and Annie and his family. And pray the church would just continue to grow in the wisdom and stature of Christ. Pray for God's hand upon them and finances. And also to try to find a permanent meeting location. I pray for God's favor in that way. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's ask the Lord to touch the most populous Muslim country in the world. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Salamat and his family. And also our trip to Kupang this summer and our mission outpost there. So let's lift up. Let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's cover our missions committee. Let's pray particularly for Pastor Ricky as he leads and other members. And let's pray for God's hand upon them, real sense of unity and a lot of wisdom in the decisions that are being made, especially for our missions. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our local outreach as well. Let's pray for our Agape, the homeless ministry, SP Lives, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's ask for the volunteers to be strengthened and equipped and encouraged. Let's pray for Tim and Janella as they lead, that God would really give them favor with people and organizations, and that real significant ministry will be taking place in each of the outreaches that are happening. And let's lift up. Let's cover our activities tonight. Let's pray for the College Ministry SPU, for the IP Intercessor Prayer Meeting, and also the EG class going on. Let's pray for God's hand upon us, and that all the meetings, that God would be glorified and people would grow. Let's cover house church tonight. Let's pray for McCain and McRobinson. Let's ask for the Lord to be with our leaders and the hosts, and people will just have a significant time of discussion and prayer and ministry to one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our churches, a part of the Lent initiative today. Today we have the pleasure of praying for Watermark Community Church. And so you can see the prayer requests. They're looking for a space for them to gather. Pray that we'll continue to trust them and see His provision, and God will continue to transform people's hearts through the message of the gospel there at Watermark. Pray for Pastor Tobin. He's actually on sabbatical right now because his daughter is sick. And so in the U.S., and so if we could particularly lift him up and his family. Also the local church, the number two is Gideon Organic Church. And so pray for the heart of the young people that have reached out to, that they will return to the Father's house, and pray for the church, young people in the church, to build a deeper relationship with the Lord and actively respond to His love and provide finances for their church needs. And so the Watermark is the international church, and Gideon Organic is the local Cantonese-speaking church. And so let's lift up these churches before the Lord today. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you. God, thank you for the word, God. We thank you for the faithfulness of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh to fully follow you, God. And thank you for the example. As a result of fully following you, God, that they were sent home, God, with riches, God. They were sent home with blessings, Father. They didn't lose anything, God, in following you. And help us to also walk in that conviction, God, that we're quick to obey, Father, or whatever you ask, God, knowing that, Lord, that we're not going to lose anything, God. In fact, we're going to gain because it's always the heart of the Father in that way. And so we bless you, Lord, and Lord, continue to draw near to us, Lord, today, through this weekend. I know it's a little bit cold. Lord, I pray that you protect the poor, God, in Hong Kong who may not have the resources, Lord God, to keep warm. And I pray that that you would keep them warm supernaturally, Father, and that you'd cause people to help in some way, Father God. Help us to help, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys over the weekend.